I am here at the Cattle Industry Summer Conference, and Christina Butts is standing here with me. She is the NCBA Director of Legislation Affairs. And first of all, Christina, thank you for taking a few minutes to chat with me. Tell me a little bit of what's been going on the past fiscal year when it comes to Washington.
So Washington is always an interesting place in a midterm election year. And the one thing that NCBA has really focused our efforts on this year is more on the regulatory side of a lot of these proposed rules moving forward out of agencies like the USDA or the Environmental Protection Agency. So obviously, talking about EPA, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about their proposed rule on waters of the United States. This is the largest federal land grab in our country's history. And anybody that owns land, so not even if you're just in the cattle business, but if you own land, you need to be aware of what this proposed rule means for you and your family's operations. This week at our summer meeting, we're talking about this. We have EPA here to continue the discussions and the dialogue with our producers. It's one of the things, though, that we need to make sure that the EPA hears from the grassroots. They need to hear from NCBA's membership. They need to hear from our members, neighbors, friends, and family, talking about what this means. And what EPA is proposing is to remove the word navigable from the definition of the Clean Water Act that Congress put in place back in the 70s. What a lot of people might not realize is that Congress has actually had legislation introduced over the last 10 years, but it's never gone anywhere. So Congress sent a clear message saying we don't want to change the definition. Then EPA several years ago started working on a guidance document, which is more kind of behind the scenes. It isn't a typical regulation, so it doesn't have to go through the same regulated process for comments and an open, transparent process. We were able, not only NCBA, but our broader coalition in Washington, we were able to pull that guidance document back. But now we have a proposed rule. The comment period has been extended to October 20th, and producers or anyone listening can go to NCBA's website at beefusa.org, and they can actually find a way to submit comments to the EPA. EPA has been traveling the country talking about agriculture being exempt. We strongly disagree with them. When our cattle producers and our attorneys have reviewed the proposed rule, we are clearly included in the regulation. So for any producers that might be in the prairie pothole country, anybody that might have a playa lake or a stock tank, you're going to have to get a permit through the Corps of Engineers in order to actually be able to use those facilities on your own land and operation. If you're out of compliance, you could be subjected to fines up to $37,500 per day. $37,500 per day. So you can see how this is such a big priority for NCBA's membership, and we're doing all that we can to make sure that our members' voices are heard. So not only is NCBA pushing back in Washington, but also grassroots are reaching out to Washington saying, this is ridiculous. EPA does not need this type of jurisdiction over our family farms and operations. So we're hopeful that EPA will listen. We're hopeful that they'll continue the dialogue. We do appreciate the fact that they're here to talk to our producers. But again, we strongly disagree with their interpretation of what their own proposal means.
When we're talking about the farmers and ranchers across the U.S., that this could affect, you know, in one day it could bankrupt an entire family operation. So the call to action is that their voice does matter. So what is one way? You mentioned getting online and commenting, but what can they do locally to kind of get this message out?
I think talking to your state representatives and also talking to your federally elected representatives. Congress is getting ready to be on their August recess, so they're going to be back home in their congressional districts and in their states, and I think talking to them and even encouraging them to be engaged. We have a lot of bipartisan support in Washington that agree that this is a federal overreach, and finding ways for those members of Congress to submit comments to the EPA directly or be able to raise the concerns of their constituents will also be very, very important. And also finding ways. We have a lot of states who are now involved because they don't want the federal government having more jurisdiction over their property rights of their citizens in their state. So many states are getting active and engaged, and that's appreciative. So the more states that we can also have weighing in will help rein back the EPA's regulation.
Well, let's change topics briefly, but let's talk about the country of origin labeling and the recent case ruling with that.
So country of origin labeling continues to be a hot topic for NCBA's membership. It's been one of the top two topics that members are asking me this week when I see them here at our summer meeting. And so last month, the WTO, the World Trade Organization, they had a preliminary decision that they did share with the three countries, Canada, Mexico, and the United States. Those have not been made public, but we expect those to be made public in September. Once that is made public, the WTO, then that's when the time really starts to tick, because that means that we're we're going to potentially be one day closer to retaliation from two of our top five export markets. And I'm not just talking about this being a beef or a livestock issue. This is broader than that. This is a retaliation on some of the different grain commodity groups, retaliation on different things like fruits and vegetables, retaliation on manufacturing goods. So it is very broad when you start looking at this list. And it's actually changing the conversation in Washington. We have many members of Congress who see this as a trade issue, not only a red meat issue, but a larger trade issue. So the amount of support that we're getting in Washington with concerns shared and people watching to see what happens in September when the WTO's decision is made final, that's really going to figure out how quickly we can move to get this resolved. Now, if the United States goes through an appeal process, that's going to eventually kick the can down the road a little bit longer. But there's a lot of broad support on both sides of the aisle in Washington to do something to fix this problematic trade rule.
Moving on with the trade negotiations and stuff, what's new with that? What can the producers back at home, what do they need to be aware about?
Sure. Well, obviously trade is a big income earner for our producers all the way down to the grassroots. Roughly about $300 per head comes back to cattle producers in value when you look at these free trade agreements and just trade in general. So one that we've dedicated a lot of time to in Washington is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So this is really obviously looking at the Asian countries. Japan is key on this. We've been very strong. Japan came late to the table, so they wanted to be included in TPP after all the other countries were in negotiations with the United States. So we made it very strong that we wanted to make sure we had tariff elimination on the table. We don't want our products to have tariffs if they're going into Japan. So what we've been working on in D.C., and there was a letter that went to our government just this week with over 140 members of Congress from the Ways and Means Committee and throughout the U.S. House Representatives, basically saying the U.S. Trade Representative's office, you need to stay strong and make sure that you represent agriculture in these free trade and negotiations that are happening right now. And if it can't be zero on the trade, you know, tariff elimination front, then it's not going to be something that Congress wants to end up ratifying and passing before we move forward. So it's a strong focus in CBA. We dedicate a significant portion of our time. We want open markets. We want our producers to have the ability to be profitable, to develop their business models and business plans so that they can find more ways to stay in business and hopefully expand their businesses too.
2015 going into the next fiscal year, what can people back home be aware of? What do they need to, you know, be sure to help to spread the word about?
So one other thing that we're working on that will be unveiled in 2015 is the dietary guidelines. So a lot of people don't realize that NCBA works on dietary guidelines every single year. Even though we got dietary guidelines in 2010, NCBA started working on the 2015 dietary guidelines in 2011. So it's a process between the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Health and Human Services. They create an advisory committee that for about 3 to 4 years, they look at all the nutrition recent information that's out there from a research perspective, and then they decide if they need to make a change from the 2010 dietary guidelines. This year, they've kind of delved into topics of sustainability, talking about beef specifically, about grass-finished versus grain-finished beef. We've been weighing in at a variety of levels, meeting with USDA, meeting with HHS, meeting with certain members of Congress. Congress is also kind of watching what this committee is doing because obviously it goes out of the scope and jurisdiction when they get into issues that are not related to nutrition or health policies. We care so much about this because it's the foundation of all nutrition policy. So next year we're going to look at reauthorization. That is set to expire, so that will be a focus of NCBA. It's also when people, you know, probably listening to this, remember about the school lunch situation a couple years ago on the maximums for protein. Well, all that is based on the foundation, which is the dietary guidelines. So it's important that we work with the government to get this scientifically based and in the right place, because for the next 5 years, our nutrition policy will be based off of dietary guidelines. So it's important for people to be engaged, aware, and involved. For those that care about nutrition, they care about what that means to their school lunch and breakfast programs. They care what that means to the military feeding programs, the senior feeding programs, any of the programs our government is involved with. I would encourage them to go on the website, dietaryguidelines.gov. You can listen to the transcripts of the meetings. You know, at some point, They'll have a policy report probably later this year, December timeframe, that gets sent to the secretaries. The secretaries have an opportunity to modify that, adjust it, and then it will be the basis of the 2015 dietary guidelines. So you're going to hear a lot more as we get closer to the end of the year, as their findings and their negotiations for their report become more final. But I think it's important for people to be aware that it's happening right now, because at some point, the grassroots is going to have to get engaged, even though right now it's more of being involved, submitting scientific comments, information, and NCBA has definitely been playing that role. Those that have a nutrition background or have an interest, we're definitely going to need some help in making space balance when that report comes forward at the end of the year.
Well, I think that nutrition is something that affects everyone, not just our producers, and getting that bug out into the ears of the general population is really important. Well, thank you, Christina. Once again, talking with Christina Butts, the Director of Legislation Affairs for the NCBA here at the 2014 Cattle Industry Convention. I'm Jamie Johansson.